Joining us now in the broadcast booth is tonight's featured soloist and concertmaster, David Halen.
It's great to be here.
I have to say first, an outstanding performance. Bravo.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Why is the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto considered one of the most perfectly crafted violin concertos?
Because there's not one wasted note in it, and there's such economy of, you know, a lot of music from this era. Sometimes I think it's because they didn't have busy schedules. A lot of the music is a little bit long-winded, but this concerto is absolutely not. You couldn't take one measure out of it without affecting it somehow, and so in a sense, it also has a tremendous sort of resolution. There's great tragedy and sadness in it, and then by the time you get to the last movement, it becomes so lighthearted and joyful. It's like a movie that's very long and dark and somber, and then has a very happy, bright, cheerful ending.
On the St. Louis Symphony website, it said of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, every concert violinist seeks to master it. As you prepared for this weekend's performance, what did you discover this time around about this work and you as a performer?
Well, it sort of what it showed me this time, what incredible lyricism there is. You know, a lot of times the technical challenges are daunting, but the song-like nature, and as I age as a musician, I'm always looking for more something to do with line and with something to say in music, and as opposed to when I was a young man, I was into the athletics of it. I was into trying to impress or trying to master something technically. Now I'm much more interested in trying to actually say something, you know, while I'm alive and while I'm able to do so, that's of real significance. And that really is what I discovered, how much more of that there is in this piece than I ever realized before.
The St. Louis Symphony is going to perform once again at Carnegie Hall in March. When did you first imagine yourself or dream of playing at Carnegie Hall?
You know, for me, the Carnegie Hall of my childhood was Powell Symphony Hall. And because that's the way I knew the St. Louis Symphony as a boy growing up. And when I finally did go to Carnegie Hall for the first time, I couldn't help but notice the similarities between the two halls, both in sound and visually. And they both have a very special sort of warm quality in the sound that envelops the listener in a very intimate way. So even though Carnegie Hall has, I think, over 3,000 seats, just under 3,000, which means it's about the same size as Pell Hall, which is, by the way, gargantuan by concert hall standards. There's really, you feel like you're in right next to the person playing up on the stage.
Because you started at a young age, what words of encouragement would you give a young musician who aspires to play at Carnegie Hall or a world-class orchestra like the St. Louis Symphony?
Follow your dream. I tell people this all the time. If that really is what you want, then you need to find the path to make that happen. And it really starts off with who you're working with. Who's your teacher? How much do they have to give you that you need and information, and how is it working, and are you improving? When every week, every time you take the instrument out of the case and play, are you making something better? That really is the way to find the path to being a great artist. But really, if you have to have a dream first. If you don't have that, you'll never make it.
When did you decide this was the path for you?
Ironically, it was playing the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto when I was 16 years old. I remember there was a. It was just I was playing it in Warrensburg, Missouri. And I came to the end of the first movement, and I was overcome by the music. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, this is what I really must be doing. And it was from then on I knew. And up until then I did it because my parents told me. But from that day forward I did it because I really wanted to.
So at age 16 you were playing this work. This is the second time you've played the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto with the orchestra.
Yes.
This time around?
Yes. I've played it so on average every 15 years or so, comes back, and I find some other excuse to take it out and play. There's so many. The violin repertoire is so vast. The Mendelssohn is perhaps one of the very greatest of all, but there are many others that try to stand up to the test of the Mendelssohn.
On January 24th, it was announced that the St. Louis Symphony is going to go to Europe in early September for four concert tour, 4 days in four countries. As concertmaster, what does this mean for you and the other musicians and the St. Louis Symphony as an organization?
Well, I think that it's really a wonderful opportunity for the orchestra to showcase its abilities together with David Robertson. And also the orchestra benefits by performing in different parts of the world, just in the sense that the halls are unique to each community. The audience, we learn from the audience, ironically. The audience response is so different in Europe. There's a great sense of ownership of the art form, especially in Germany. So that you just get a sense that they're really listening intently and they care very deeply about especially their music. So there's that sense of responsibility that we have as an institution when we play in these great musical capitals of the world.
As concertmaster, you're a leader of the musicians. There are a number of musicians in this orchestra that are younger that have never done a tour like this. What do you do for them? What do you say to them?
Well, you know, mostly what I do is not what I say. It's just sitting in front of the orchestra, and it's what you do with your instrument. Much of what leading a section is about is not giving criticism or advice verbally, but it's through osmosis. It's the way conductors work. It's what we see up on the podium is so much of it is unspoken communication, and sometimes they're just thinking it. And sometimes all I have to do in the orchestra is to think something as I'm playing it, and I hear them adapt. If I just think to myself, this is rushing just a little bit, and if I just think that, and I think about focusing on getting them not to, it just happens automatically. I don't have to say a word.
Incredible. You play a violin that was made in Milan, Italy, in 1753. What, if anything, do you make of the current news articles, commentaries, and debate taking place over the sound and worth of older stringed instruments versus instruments that are being made today?
Well, it's a little bit like art, the visual arts, sculpture. Violins are works of art made by great masters from an era not too far removed from Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci. Yes, you can paint another Mona Lisa, but it's not the same as the Mona Lisa. Or maybe there's more than one copy I was reading today. But you cannot reproduce these great works of art and have them absolutely be a replacement. And what I feel like my violin does for me is that it takes me on a journey. It's not just that it sounds beautiful, but it has a personality all its own that teaches me as an artist. And I know that my violin friends that play, the reason that they make these tremendous sacrifices, it's because that's perhaps one of the most important parts of life as an artist is that relationship with the instrument. And so therefore, that's the other thing I tell young people that are aspiring to be artists is the tools are very important.
In the last minute that we have together this evening, you have some new talent in the violin section of the St. Louis Symphony. Could you talk a little bit about the folks that have just joined recently?
Oh, we have a large influx of wonderful young talent. It's part of sort of an orchestra sort of is reborn all the time through its new members, and they learn from the older members of the symphony. And that's the reason it's better not to have everybody come in at once, because they learn from the traditions, from what the standards, what we do here, and the work ethic and the discipline. But at the same time, they bring a freshness and this hunger to really make something special happen. They're investing their lives in the orchestra and in the success of the performances, and I can sense that. I know my colleagues do. And I think that you all can hear it, or I hope you can hear it, because it's remarkable the way the violins are sounding.
David, I really appreciate you taking the time after that magnificent solo to come up and spend some time with us.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor.
Tonight's featured soloist and concertmaster, St. Louis Symphony's David Halen.